Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to be successful. Today, we are going to talk about something super juicy and controversial, diversity, and how diversity is just a backhanded way to say discrimination. But before we get into that, before I get into trouble, I just want to let you guys know we're part of the CrossPolitik Network. Go over to crosspolitik.com, become a member. If you want to send your hate mail or your compliments or suggestions or anything like that, you can reach me at How to Build a Tent on Twitter or Instagram. You can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. I really love listening and reading and getting back to you guys and having conversations. All right, let's get into this. Let's get in trouble. Diversity is a backhanded way to say discrimination. And what I mean by that is when you try to diversify in a company, you're taking a group of people and dismissing them and discriminating against them to find someone outside that homogeneous group in your company and find and pick them. And it doesn't mean that they're even the most qualified. You might be missing and skipping over someone who's more qualified just because they are the same, quote unquote, as everyone else in the company. And we have to identify as business leaders, as employees, as people in a company that whenever you discriminate, there's a cost. When you bring in diversity, there is a cost. Now, I want to talk about bad discrimination and good discrimination. Yes, there is good discrimination. And we're going to get into that. But regardless, if it's bad or good, there is always a cost. And as we've talked about before, understanding your cost in business is very important. If you don't understand that, go to back to our first episode where we talk about value and how that's created, and you'll understand a cost is a key component to anything that we do in business. So what is bad discrimination? And I simply describe bad discrimination as this. It's any time you discriminate against somebody or a group of people based on anything else but the value that they bring. And if you go to the Bible, Jesus talks about this. He says, you will know them. He doesn't say you will know them by what they look like, their background, their education, or any number of things, but one thing, you will know them by their fruit, by what they produce, what they bring to the table, what value they bring is how we are to know people by what they produce. You will know them by their fruit. So any discrimination beyond that is bad discrimination and has negative consequences. Now let's just take the example. Now this diversity takes many shapes and forms, but since this came about by a woman in leadership program, let's just take that as an example of some of the negative consequences that come from this. So again, what women in leadership is where they're promoting women and putting them on special projects and spotlighting women to be in leadership positions. What possibly could be go wrong with that? Well, the first obvious point that we should acknowledge and realize is that when you limit the pool that you're picking from to put people in the leadership, you have a good likelihood that you're going to pass up or disqualify someone who's more qualified than the people in that pool that you're trying to pick from. There are probably a lot of great men that you're just completely dismissing that are qualified or even more qualified than the women that you're picking from, just statistically alone. That hurts the company because you're not putting the best person in the leadership role. You're not putting the person that's going to bring the most value to the company when you do that. You want to have the largest pool possible to pick from. And then you want to pick the individual, if it's a man or a woman, who brings the most value and who can bring the most value in those leadership roles and positions. Another negative consequence of this that people I don't think even realize is that you're insulting other women who have made it into leadership roles without these programs. Because basically what you're saying is these women can't cut it without the special favor, that there's too much against them, that there's been too systemic oppression in the workplace, that women can't rise up to leadership roles. The problem with that is there are tons of women in CEO positions that do great. There are great women in leadership. There's great women in the VP roles, the director's roles, that lead lead companies, that lead divisions. And what are you saying about them, that they needed some special handout to get to where they are? And thirdly, it de-incentivizes value. When you are promoting people, when you are celebrating people, when you are giving them special projects, when you are putting them on a pedestal in a company, for nothing else but for what they look like, or if they're women, or whatever it is, besides value, you're de-incentivizing those people that are producing more value than them. Because what's gonna happen? If they are getting passed up because of whatever reason besides value, well, they're not gonna produce as much value as they did before, or they're gonna leave the company and go somewhere else where they're gonna be recognized and where their value is gonna be acknowledged. Now, I want to talk about times that diversity is bad. And before we do this, I want to communicate and get on the same level on what is culture. Because when we talk about diversity, we're really talking about different cultures. I want us to understand this, because a lot of times when we think of a culture, we think of a country has a culture, or a community has a culture, the South has a culture, Texas has its own culture. But really, we all have several different cultures that impact us. You can't just look at one person and know all of the cultures that they're bringing with them to the table. And that was the one and only thing that I really learned from my cultural diversity class in college, besides that I'm a white man and that I hate everyone else, is that we do bring on multiple cultures. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Your company has a culture. Your division has a subculture. Your group has an individual culture. Your family has a culture. Your church has a culture. If you go to another church, you'll realize things are different. It's not done exactly the same way. You individually have your own culture. When you go into a group, you change the dynamic of that group because you're adding your culture and you're bringing a cultural perspective to it. And that is where it gets super complicated when you talk about mergers and acquisitions. And this is an obvious example where diversity is a terrible thing and something that's really hard to overcome. Majority of mergers and acquisitions fail because you have two companies that have different cultures, and putting them together and blending them, even though they're diversified and you have diversity, they're so different that they can't function together, that they are better off separate than together. They're better off by themselves. And they end up breaking up, or they go out of business, or the whole merger acquisition falls apart. They usually fail. And that's a good example of when diversity is a bad thing. All right, so enough about the negative. Let's talk about good discrimination. Yes, there is good discrimination. Ask any father who has a teenage daughter, right? There are men that you are discriminating against from taking your daughter out on a date, if they're allowed to date at all. When you discriminate based on value and you pick the person who brings the most value, then you're making your company wealthier than it would have been otherwise. There's incentive for, just as bad discrimination, where discriminating for something besides value discourages people from creating more value. Even the people you don't pick for those roles, if you're picking based on value, it's going to incentivize those around you in the company to create more value as well, because they understand that the reason that that person was picked and not them was because of how much value they bring. And that's not something that's easily quantifiable and acknowledged. So if you understand that, you're going to have one up on most people. A good example of diversity is sometimes a company needs to change their culture, and you bring in a leader to do that very thing, to change. Most times, people pick a CEO for a specific role that a CEO brings with them their own culture, and oftentimes they come in and they have a specific job to do. There's different types of CEOs, and that's why CEOs usually, typically in a company, last 4 to 5 years at most, because the company is moving on to a different spot, a different place where their growth strategies change, or a number of different things can change, and they need another CEO that fits that new strategy that the board lays out. And so a CEO can come on for the reason to can maintain steady growth in a company. A board might pick a CEO to downsize a company. a board may pick a CEO to make a pivot. And there's certain CEOs that have this brand, we've talked about that before, that they are known as the CEO that can downsize a company. They're known as a CEO that can maintain steady growth. They're known as a CEO that can make a company's pivot to a whole different business model and do it successfully. And what they're doing is they're bringing their culture to the company. Another example of this is when a big company who is needing to learn how to change faster, this has to do with change management, and they have a bunch of employees and a bunch of leaders in the company that are used to doing things a certain way. There's a process, there's a big bureaucracy, and they're just used to following the rules and the instructions. Well, a good opportunity for diversity here and a good way to discriminate against people like that in these new positions is to find somebody who is not in that culture and that diversity, that's maybe part of the startup culture, that's part of the small business, who's used to thinking on their feet, being agile, not working in that bureaucracy. We see a lot of companies, a lot of big companies do this. They acquire a company and either they will try to bring them on to stimulate and to kind of transform their own culture, or they'll actually just leave them on their own and let them do their thing and get the benefits of it so that their bigger culture won't consume them. And then also the flip side is when a small company becomes a certain size, a lot of times the founder of that company and the people that have built that company from the ground up, they aren't suited. They don't have the best skills and experience to take it to that next level. So they need to diversify and bring in diversity from people that are used to putting in place bureaucracies and functioning within bureaucracies to let it grow to the next level. Different size businesses have different characteristics, and it's important to recognize that for yourself as an employee or as a leader, as someone who owns a company, to understand that you might be suited for one phase of a company, but not the next. And sometimes you need to bring in people to accentuate your, or not accentuate, but to be strong in those areas that you're weak, and to bring in leaders and employees that are better accustomed to the next stage of growth in that company. I'd love to hear what you have to think about this. Reach out to me at How to Build a 10 on Twitter and Instagram. Please subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to on Android. Find us on YouTube, Cross Politic, and we'll talk to you next week.